Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I got my ADHD medication stolen from me in Bali.
What?
Housekeeping stole my ADHD medication.
Are you on Dexies or the Ritz?
Dexamphetamine.
Oh, I was going to say they stole your Ritz, mate, but they stole your Dexies.
They stole my Dexies.
Oh. Hello and welcome to the Self Love Club, the podcast chatting about stuff that matters, created and hosted by me, broadcaster Belle Crawford. On the show, it's a chit-chat episode. These feature in between our guest interview-style episodes, and my friend Anna Scarborough-Rawson is joining us. We always have a lot to chat about, a lot of laughs, but also a lot of honest chats about our mental health and just everything. We discuss how we've found things 1 year on from both being diagnosed with ADHD. We actually have an episode we recorded last year after we'd both been diagnosed around the same time. I'll leave that episode link in the show notes in case you want to listen after this. Also, what are beige flags? And Anna had a hair fail. A quick trigger warning, when we discuss ADHD in females, we mention briefly a statistic around self-harm. We don't discuss this in depth, but I wanted to give you a heads up. If you or someone you know is struggling, I've left some places you can get help in the show notes. Before we get into it, please make sure that you're subscribed on your podcast app, hit follow on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and follow us at Self Love Club Podcast on Instagram.
Does it just get faster the older you get?
I reckon, yeah, time, maybe it's because we have more responsibilities, I don't know, and just time just goes.
They sleep.
Yeah.
You're just constantly awake. Maybe that's why.
You'd think that would make the days seem longer, but I mean, they do. But
the days seem long. Yeah, it's a short, oh my God, that's just another cliche.
You know you're a mom when.
Right, just quoting Instagram things. Yeah, Freddie started school a couple months ago. That's been interesting. Jagger's Jagger. He's just a little tyrant, really. I texted my husband the other day and I was like, he's either going to be really successful and be a CEO or he's going to overthrow a government. And Tom was just like, the sooner he does either, the better. He's just a, I don't know, he turned 3 last week and he's just got this like burst of testosterone or something. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm alive. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, thank you. And also you've been having... Oh, I'm not laughing at you, but yesterday you text me and you're like, what did you say? I've had a hair fail or something.
Yeah, I broke my own rule. I swore I would never ever box dye. Like, I don't pretend that I know what I'm doing at all. But I don't know what's the cutoff for a quarter life crisis. I don't want people thinking like I'm lying about my age, but I'm not old enough for a midlife crisis. But I'm obviously having some sort of identity crisis because I thought that it would be a really good idea to box dye my hair after a lifetime of being blonde.
Mm.
So I was kind of a bronze, which a hairdresser did. That was fine, but it was semi-permanent and it faded heaps. And I thought, well, I'll just like try a mid-brown, and it went quite dark. And then TikTok did me dirty, like it really did. I was Googling at home, colour removing, and then they all said crush up heaps of vitamin C pills and mix it with dandruff shampoo.
Oh my gosh, did you do this?
Yeah, I did it. So I did it once and I was banging out the pills and I just got a little bit lazy because it was taking a long time. So the first time I did it, it was more like, it was just big chunks of tablets in my hair. When it was down, it was kind of patchy, like I would have a circle and then not so good. So the second time I did it, I used my Thermomix to blend up the vitamin C tablets and that was good. It was like a powder, but it didn't really work. So then I went back online and I found...
Did you not think, okay, let's go to the head? I mean, good on you for DIYing and your way out of this, but did you not think, okay...
You should understand, of all people, ADHD, yeah. Hyper-focused. So Chemist Warehouse had like a colour remover. TikTok, again, this girl went from like dark red hair back to normal colour. And I thought, it's just a semi-permanent. I just thought it would take off the dark colour, give me back whatever it was before. And I'll go back to my hairdresser. She can fix it. She won't know I did anything. And I don't know, but it went ginger, like it fully went ginger. I have washed it a few times with dandruff shampoo since. That was yesterday.
Are we a little head and shoulders girly at the moment?
Yeah, I had to go and buy some.
Yeah.
And went and bought some blue shampoo. I've blue shampooed the shit out of my hair. I was just about to cry, honestly. I text my sister-in-law, who's a hairdresser, and I was just like, help. Jagger, he saw my hair and he was just like, why are your hair yellow? And I don't know.
It's like a dark auburn at the moment, really. It's not as bad. Like, it's not as, you've obviously got it down from how ginger it was, but then also it is tied up. So people will be able to see a video of this. I don't think it's as bad now as you think, but also at the same time, I completely get when your hair's not right, it's awful. Like, it just makes you feel so terrible.
It's not me. It doesn't suit my skin tone. It makes me look even more tired. It's not for me. Love red hair on other people, but just on me, absolutely not. I feel like I'm walking around with a big sign on my forehead saying I fucked up, like, look at my hair. So that is hopefully gonna be fixed tomorrow. I don't know. Do I go back to what I've been my whole life? I feel like I've given up, you know, like I tried something and then I've just given up and I've gone back and I've been like,
you're like,
it didn't work. It was too hard.
It was so traumatic. Yeah.
Do I persevere and just keep trying to find a different shade, like a light brown? I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, it is tricky when you go from, and yeah, you've obviously tried to do it yourself, which, look, hats off to some Kiwi DIY, but yeah, when you said I did this, I instantly knew. I was like, okay, I get it, ADHD, she's gone down in impulsivity, hyperfixation, and, you know, you are clever, you are creative, you're able to sort of get stuff done.
Not that clever, not that creative, but obviously.
Was it dandelion? Vitamin C and what?
Dandruff shampoo.
Oh, I thought you said
dandelion.
I thought you said you're putting dandelion in your hair, and I was like, okay, hang on a second. When you're putting dandelion in your hair, it's time to call in the professionals.
No, I don't even know. I don't know what that plant would look like if I found it in my garden.
I'd love to know the reason for anti-dandruff shampoo and vitamin C, because vitamin C would be full of citrus and acidic. So
maybe that's why my hair's gone orange.
Yeah.
Not.
I don't know. Yeah, but what was the reasoning why it works on TikTok? Why did they say it works?
Oh, I don't know. I do hear it, but again, I have this issue. I can't recall it. The first shampoo I actually used, I found it out in my husband's shower, and it was like a Head and Shoulders, but it was a green apple one. It smelled like green apples, and it was green. So I think it made my hair go a little bit green at first. Like, the brown had a bit of green tinge to it. Then I went and bought the normal one. But the colour remover, my God, it stunk so bad. My hair stunk all night. Like, I washed my hair so many times to try to get it out. And it's supposed to be natural and, like, no nasty shit in it. You cannot tell me it smells. It smells like something crawled in that bottle and died. And you can't tell me that there's nothing nasty in it because it smelled rank. I don't know. It just was so bad.
Oh, no.
Anyway. Yeah.
You made it all those years through the pandemic. You know, everyone was probably had lots of these issues, like these situations at home, and we were like, no, hands off the box dye, no matter how bad it gets, we'll literally be fully brunettes by the time this thing's over. But you managed to get through, and then
I literally was about to shave my head last night.
Oh no, we were going full Britney.
I think it was a bit of a Britney moment, because I had cut my hair last year and it was quite short. I am now growing it out, so I didn't have that change to do. I was like, well, it has to be a color.
Yeah, it's like, anyway, when we need a change, what do? We cut our hair.
I know.
Therapy dupe. Yeah,
no idea.
Yeah, no, it is a tricky one when you go from blonde to being brunette, but yeah, maybe just stick to your hairdresser. I know, because I've done it myself recently, and depending on what color you're at, it's a real science to it. And it will, if you've been blonde and they want you to go darker, it will fade faster. So they kind of remember, my hairdresser put something in between the semi-permanent to help, like, otherwise it would basically be, you know, like, it doesn't last a really long time. And I've learned semi-permanents will last however many washes, essentially. Same with, like, a toner. So they will fade. So it's a bit of a process to probably get it how dark you want. I feel like I've learned a lot about hairdressing over the years from changing your hair. And now he uses a semi-permanent, which means you don't get regrowth, because if you did a permanent, we'll probably achieve the color you want for a longer period, but then you'd have this line, which is like, I mean, you can do that if you want and go get it touched up, but not everyone wants that. And now he's actually using a toner, so it's a really good toner on my normal hair, so it just makes it a bit more chocolatey.
Can you just do it yourself, bypass him? Was that how we, that's how I got in this problem?
Yeah. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because when we're blonde, we trust the hairdresser. But I think for a lot of people, when they're brunettes, they'll think they'll just do it themselves.
Yeah.
But I just don't, I don't know. I've done a lot of box dyeing in the past when I was younger. And it honestly, the color buildup of it, it isn't always the best. I mean, I'm sure there's people that are out there that box dye and nail it and that's all good, but I just don't trust it. And the stuff that's in the shops isn't always very, you don't know the quality of it and like what color it's going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also another thing I've got is these, and again, you just need more products. I've been using this conditioner and shampoo that is purposely for like chocolatey brown hair. So like if you had red hair and you might get a special shampoo to keep the color more red, this one helps the chocolate stay in. So there are different things like that you can use as well. And it's Davinus, so it's like they're quite natural products. But yeah.
Do you still have your extensions in?
Yeah, I actually got new ones. So these were actually kind of a blondie when I started, not super blonde, because I wasn't sure. You know, when you go from blonde to brunette, you're not sure how long you're going to stay doing it.
Yeah.
But I just absolutely love it. And it's back to my, I guess it's quite close to my natural. It's just more chocolatey now, so... Yeah, I love it. It's so good. And it's funny because I didn't think I'd go. I've been balayage for and blonde for probably like 6 or 7 years on and off. So, yeah.
Change is good. I don't know what I want. I've got to figure it out in the next like 24 hours.
That's okay. You could always do it in between. You know, you do, how dark do you want it?
Don't know.
That's okay. Okay. But you don't want to go back blonde?
Don't know.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
No, I'm just think shaving it and starting fresh, seeing what's underneath there.
You're lucky that you suit both. You look really good blonde, but I really, when I saw a photo the other day with it brunette, I really liked it as well.
I should have just left it. I don't know why I did it. I don't know. I don't know why.
It's just ADHD. It's that impulsivity thing.
I'm also not taking my meds that much anymore. Maybe that's why. I don't know. Maybe I should take my meds a bit more.
We can go into it more deeper on another episode, but... We did talk last year about how we both got diagnosed with ADHD around the same time. And remember we had a coffee and you were like, oh my God, I've been diagnosed with ADHD. And I was like, oh my God, no way. Me too. And so then we did do an episode talking about our process of how that went down. And it's interesting because we've talked about ADHD on the podcast a bit now. I get messages all the time from people who've listened and then gone and got diagnosed.
Yeah.
I thought we could, we could touch on year on and how we're going. A lot of people are getting diagnosed at the moment and some people are saying, oh, it's a trend. But the more I've listened to stuff from experts, there's a really good book I've listened to as well by a psychiatrist who specializes in it. I'll leave the details in the show notes. It's basically a generation of women and multiple generations that just weren't diagnosed. So that's why it's happening at what might seem a greater amount, because we literally were not diagnosed as children because
we taught to mask our, like, to fit into society, to be good girls, mask ourselves. And I just became so good at masking.
Yeah. And so in the 1970s, when they, you know, were working on ADHD, they only looked at it in boys. They didn't think it existed in women. So it's completely different. And it's only now that they're going, hang on, women do have it. Even though it's a relief to get it, it's not like, I don't think the last year has been easy. In fact, it's kind of at times you have more questions and because you've got to this point in your life with it, you know what I mean? And I feel like I've had to learn a lot and thankfully there are a lot of resources for free online, you know, like there's some great podcasts now, some books, but it's almost like you need a lot of, there needs to be like a support school or like some sort of support after you get your diagnosis because you're sort of given this thing, it explains stuff, it makes you feel less like a, I guess, a failure or whatever, but then you have to then try change things in your life and go forward with it when you've lived so long without knowing.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, the first little while you're kind of trying to figure out, or I was trying to figure out what is me and my quirks and then what is ADHD. When I found out, I don't know about you, I was really struggling at the time. Everything comes to a head. And then, I mean, it takes so long as well to get a diagnosis too. Like quite a few people have reached out to me since last year and have either just been diagnosed or found they have been or are waiting for a diagnosis. You find out usually when you're really struggling and you've either hit rock bottom or you're on your way down. And trying to like put the pieces back together, having learned something about yourself, but then trying to figure out like, is this me or is like, but not also not trying to blame the bad parts of you on ADHD, like, oh, it's not, I'm not a bad person, it's just my ADHD or something. So yeah, and then I was taking my medication because of my medical history. There really aren't a lot of medical, like different types of medicine available for me to try, and they only give you such a short supply. Basically all the drug dealers ruined it for people that actually need ADHD, right? Yeah. Like a month's supply, and if you try and contact your doctor too soon, they will... Oh, I have a funny story. I got my ADHD medication stolen from me in Bali.
What?
Housekeeping stole my ADHD medication the first day they came and did it, and it wasn't... I had like my bag of my medical stuff, and it was a zip bag, not a clear one, like a travel pouch.
Yeah.
It wasn't zipped closed, but the flap was closed. Nothing was sticking out, and it was with some of the toiletries. And the it wasn't until, because we'd gone out for breakfast, and then the next morning I was looking for it, and I was like, that's really weird, can't find it. Said something to Tom later on that day, had a look. We both looked everywhere. Over the next couple of days, we looked this whole like villa upside down, and the only conclusion we could come to was it's been taken. So when we asked them, the language barrier was a little bit different. Oh, then I Googled it. He Googled it actually. And dexamphetamine in Bali, totally illegal. There's an Australian waiting to face 20 years in jail or something like that for bringing dexamphetamine in. So Tom's like, of course they saw it. They saw a drug that is illegal here.
Are you on Dexies or the Ritz?
Dexamphetamine.
Oh, I was going to say, they stole your Ritz, mate, but they stole your Dexies.
They stole my Dexies. Oh. Like, they would have seen it. This is like an amphetamine. It's illegal here. Going to take it. You're not going to report it. But it's Bali. So, like, you can go into a pharmacy and say, like, I've got ADHD. What can you give me? Because they just give everything out willy-nilly. Anyway, I was so desperate. That's what I tried there, like, equivalent of Ritalin.
Oh, so you went and bought some Ritz. Can you just get it over the counter there?
Yeah.
So even if you did have it or didn't have it?
Yeah, that's what you're walking down the street and they're yelling out like Valium, Valium, like Ritalin. That's just what they, yeah. So I took one the next day and I just didn't like how it made me feel, because I spoke to my doctor when I got back and he said they're very similar what they sell, but they're not exactly the same. So it just made me feel weird. So I didn't take it. So that holiday was actually quite hard. But since I got back, I, another really like kind of weird holistic thing, I've been celery juicing. I did it a few years ago for my skin, actually. Pretty much it's a whole thing of celery every day. I do it the night before. It's got to be less than 24 hours old when you drink it, and like the leaves and whatever, and a juicer. It's got to be, I think, 18 ounces, so it's about 2 cups. I drink it first thing in the morning on an empty stomach. It's really anti-inflammatory, getting like toxins out there. I won't even pretend that I can explain the benefits of celery juicing. I like celery. It's not that nice though to drink like a whole thing of celery. I don't know if it's a placebo thing, but I just feel a lot clearer in the head. I'm not reaching for a coffee first thing in the morning. I'm drinking less coffee. And I also find that I'm a bit more sensitive to my medication. It's been making me quite anxious. So I have kind of been taking less, or haven't been taking it.
Yeah.
Been doing a few stupid things like dyeing my hair though. So obviously...
It is really tricky to get the combination right, because there's so many, I've learned through stuff I've read and listened to from experts, there's so many factors. So obviously, like anything, when you take a medication, it's not going to fix everything, but there's like nervous system, like I've had to learn things with my nervous system regulation. And it's so good that you're not, I'm the same. I haven't been having coffee first thing anymore. I definitely wait and have breakfast more. But yeah, last year was interesting. Did you find, because, you know, a lot of people when they go on it, it's known to suppress your appetite. I actually wasn't eating really very well last year in terms of I wasn't hungry. So I was eating, but I wasn't hungry enough to properly eat until dinner once my meds had probably worn off. And then I would be hungry at night, so I would snack. And I actually gained weight and was living on coffee. And I think I was quite stressed, like living in stress mode. And it's interesting. And I've not actually talked about it because I'm very conscious about, I think you are as well.
Yeah.
Because we've both have histories of eating disorders. I've actually lost quite a bit of weight since last year, like probably over 11 kilos now. And so, yeah, it's been an interesting one, just learning different things about your nervous system. And again, I've been worried to share that because I don't know, like it's funny, back in the past would be like, this is how much weight I've lost. Whereas now I'm very sensitive because you don't have to feel that pressure. I don't want anyone else to feel that pressure. mine was stress and health stuff. And now I've actually just been focusing on actually eating properly and making sure I'm eating good protein and not just living on coffee and then eating at dinner time.
Yeah, and also, like, I know last year there was a bit of stuff online about how it was like a fad being diagnosed and people were trying to get it for the drugs, because like one thing is you can lose weight because it makes you not that hungry. I mean, yeah, I was also last year when I was diagnosed, I was making a conscious effort to be healthier, but it did not make me very hungry. So I did lose some weight. People said I looked like I lost weight, but I wasn't really aware of it. And like, I didn't say that was why, for sure. I don't know if it's just being on it for a while now that side effect's worn off. Like I just feel normal kind of hunger.
Yeah.
But yes, I definitely, one thing that I do regardless of what I'm on or not is snack at night is one of my things. And that is also an ADHD thing. It comes down to impulses. It comes down to your serotonin. It comes to, like, you're just looking for that instant dopamine. There are so many reasons why people with ADHD like tend to binge eat or snack at night. I'm not saying like I binge eat, but it just tends to be the time you're so busy during the day, you're not that hungry. And then like nighttime, you're just like, whoa, I'm hungry.
Yeah,
but that is definitely a side effect. Yeah, but you don't really want to glamorize it, because it's not glamorous. Like, it's not a glamorous side.
No,
you're not usually, it's not for a good reason. Like, you're not eating well, you're not eating properly.
But I just made some tweaks and made sure I was drinking more water. I don't think last year I drank enough water. Now I have an app on my phone to like make sure that I'm drinking enough water each day.
I'm going through a dry spell at the moment where I'm just not drinking enough water, and it's not good. You notice it in so many like aspects, it pops up, but conscious effort to do that. I don't need another app notifying me that I need to do something, like my watch telling me time to stand up or breathe. Like,
mine got to my point where I was like, I have to do that or else I'm probably not, I'm gonna shrivel up and dehydrate.
Just another notification for me to ignore, you know. I've got like 3,000 unread emails or something like that.
I saw that.
It's so bad.
Just turn them, I would turn it off if I know, I were
but
you.
It's just enabling me to ignore my problems.
I only get notifications for, I've done this for years, from social media. I don't get notifications. I've turned them off years ago.
Yeah, what about your emails? Because that's just emails.
Turn it off. Only get them when you check it. Because it's not like, you know, I don't think our brains are designed to have a million pings going off throughout the day.
This just shows you the two types of people there are. Like, there's my husband who cannot go to sleep until all his emails are cleared. Like, and then he'll have move it to a different folder or whatever, the ones that need attention straight away in the morning. Like, he cannot go to sleep. And then there's me, who's literally got over 3,000 unread emails. I just need to like blow the email up account up and start a new one. Start a new email, yeah.
And unsubscribe. I've been.
Do you know how hard it is to start a new email though now? Like, picking a username that's not taken.
Oh yeah, and then you'll have all these numbers and random underscores.
It'll be like a dot whatever at. like 10075 a million. Like,
is it easier to unsubscribe to heaps of, are you getting lots of mailer things? Because I
feel it's a
like,
mix of that stuff too.
I mean, cost of living, I feel like the shops, I mean, they're probably just trying to make a buck. Some places are sending you an email every day. I'm sorry, that's too much. I've unsubscribed to heaps of things like that. Just go through and it's probably like, some ways it's probably easier just to start again, but then, you know, maybe try unsubscribing to heaps.
I go through phases where I unsubscribe a lot, but then you'll go on a website and they'll be like, receive 10% off your food. And like, I never end up buying anything, but I'm like, one day I might, I want that. So then it's like, for everyone you delete, there's another coming in your email. And then I miss the important ones, like from school and daycare and the ones I actually need to. But yeah, it's just an ADHD thing. Or also having the ability to, I hate clutter and I really like to organize, but then I can completely ignore my pile of mess or whatever in my head. That's organized mess. I know where everything is. Or going through phases where organizing everything and makes me really anxious around mess. And then it just, I burn out, like it exhausts me, and then things just pile up again.
Still to come, we continue chatting about our experiences after our ADHD diagnosis, and as always, chatting openly about our mental health and lives. And we know what red flags and green flags are, so what are beige flags? Maybe yours are similar to ours. We'll be back after a quick break.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I guess the hardest part I found is my whole life, really the all or nothing. There's no in between. Like people say I'm ripshit and bust, and that is absolutely it. I just, there's no kind of in between. I'm really doing something or I'm not.
Yeah, it's like the ADHD burnout's real, right? Mm. And now that I know more about it, I can recognize my patterns of, yeah, like going so far into everything and probably overdoing it because I just get so fixated or doing too much of it. I saw an example of, oh, the house is a bit messy, let's give it a quick tidy, and then next minute you're scrubbing the walls, you know, and that's kind of how you and I are with stuff. We go, oh, there's a few bits of clothing to put away. Oh, let's, this is a good idea. This is a good time.
Just take everything out that I own and just, yeah, no.
11 o'clock at night to do a full resort, go through all our, you know, clothes that we could get rid of, and it's exhausting, but that's how our brains are wired, and it's really hard to unlearn things that are, obviously, you've done for a really long time, but it's also how your brain is wired to do things. So, yeah, that's one thing I've found really hard now that I know more about it is the ADHD burnout. But then I've really struggled as well with from that to the, it's called ADHD paralysis, where you're literally, where you're stunted and it makes you feel, this is a really common thing I've realized through listening to experts and other people share their stories, is it makes you feel even more like a failure, which you already have that programming in your brain because you know there's stuff that needs to be done, but you overwhelm yourself so much or you've gone too hard out that you are literally just paralyzed with fear and procrastination. And it just makes it, struggled with that. Yeah.
It's usually when you've pulled everything out and it'll be over something really stupid, like, do I put this thing back over here or over here, like trying to get my organization system in place. I could spend, like, I could lose an hour or something, and I've got very limited time before it has to be all done, and then I just end up kind of shoving things in, and it's better, but it's not like perfect. It paralyzes. It is really hard. And then like wasting so much time on things that don't need that much time wasted on them.
But it's almost
in my head, like it's got to be perfect and no one else appreciates it. And then kind of being like, oh, well, like no one recognizes that. Like, you've not seen how good the fridge looks, you know?
I spent
my whole day color coding this fridge. Or kids' toys. Honestly, I think a lot of the ADHD symptoms for me became really recognizable. I might not have been diagnosed for another how many ever years down the track, becoming a mum and just the struggle with everyday things that other people seem to do fine with. Like, I just found them totally overwhelming. And then also noticing a lot of these traits now being diagnosed in my eldest son. But him being a boy, you'd think it's more hyperactive. And I would have said hyperactive, but I actually think he is quite a bit more inattentive. He's already got such a big critic and is such a perfectionist. And he's a real deep thinker. He's super creative. I just see so much of it in him, but he's still too young for an official diagnosis. Yeah, there's so many things to consider, but it was a real eye-opener becoming a mum and kind of having things unravel.
Yeah, and that's when it tends to happen for a lot of people.
It's a cliche.
Yeah, when they either become a mum or their load becomes too much, and that's when it happened for me. It had been raised when I was younger, but I, you know, because of all the, I guess, lack of understanding, and for me as well, comparing it to people I knew with ADHD, mine didn't look the same. But when, for me, it wasn't having kids, which I'm glad I've had it before I get to that stage.
Yeah.
But it was when I was running my own work and then doing lots of other work, and it was just all too much. And then also just learning about dopamine and serotonin and all those levels, and if they're not good, then if it's something that's literally happening in your brain, let's just get it sorted and move on from there. And so I think it has been really great that we've been able to do that, but it is a real process afterwards trying to figure it out,
what works for you, because it's not the same for everybody.
Yeah, and it's a tricky one too, because at the moment I would like to change my medication. I'm on short release one, so I take 4 throughout the whole day, and having to remember that.
Your ADHD, there's a reason, like, take 4 minutes,
And they said send an alarm, but I'm like, iPhone alarms give me, I hate the sound of them. I have to wake up with that sleep thing, whatever it is, it's way more calming.
I don't like alarms.
Otherwise, you turn your phone right down, it's like, rah, rah, you get like literally a heart attack from just waking up in the morning.
And if I've had a bad night's sleep or the kids have been up, I find myself like just lying there, because I don't want that to wake them up, because they've just gone back to sleep. So I'm just like lying there, like my alarm's going to go off, I don't want to wake them up. Yeah, I just don't like alarms. I don't need an alarm, I've got kids. Belgian, yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to change my medication, but then you have to pay. I really hope they change this, because there's so many people that really cannot afford any of this stuff, and they're the ones worse off that are affected by ADHD. Like, I listened to something recently where they were saying that the impact of people not being diagnosed with ADHD is extreme. Like, it's so terrible. And so we're lucky enough to be able to do that. But for people that kind of, it's an expensive thing to get diagnosed and then to even change your medication. So I can't actually go to my doctor to change my medication. I have to then go to the psychiatrist, yeah. which is another $400, yeah. which is so expensive. And then every month, like Anna said, you've got to get a script and pay for it. There's just so many costs.
Every 2 years, you've got to get your this ADHD number.
We'll be coming up next year to get our renewal process. So that's another trip to the psychiatrist for us. So I really do hope, and it sounds like there is apparently some work on it. I just think they need to, and it's so ridiculous that we're still, there's people I know in my family who have been going through this process for 20 years now, and it's just so much money. So you can imagine if people can't afford to do that.
Well, you're more likely to, it's the sad truth is you're more likely to end up in prison, like that's shown for boys that have got undiagnosed ADHD, like prison, doing really stupid, risky things, getting in trouble, like getting themselves injured. You know, you think about a teenage boy, think of all the stupid stuff they can do. And then if they've got even worse impulse control.
It has dire impacts. And then people,
it can do, yeah.
People might not have education. They may not have jobs.
The right support system. Yeah. Good parents might not have. Yeah, there's so many reasons why it could end up so bad.
And for women, if they're not diagnosed, they are 4 times more likely to have issues with self-harm and suicide. That's a really scary fact. 4 times more likely than women who aren't. So yeah, it's quite serious.
That's really huge.
Yeah. So I really hope that they can make some changes. But anyway, I know it's a little heavy. Let's move on to something light. But we do acknowledge that we're lucky. But at the same time, I mean, everyone's struggling with cost of living. To then have to go, just literally imagine just having to change your medication and you have to pay $400 just to change it. Not even.
If you're living like paycheck to paycheck and everything is. Every dollar is accounted for. You can't just go change it.
But I also think it's just unfair that you have to pay that much money. Like, why should, you know what I mean? Like, why should you have to? It's ridiculous. Yeah. You've already got the diagnosis.
I think also it's been really helpful, social media, TikTok, all the downfalls that it has been really good to get informed. But it's almost, I'm a little bit, it's gone the other way. Like now I think, I don't know what's wrong with me. I see all these things pop up about mum burnout and like dysregulation and being overstimulated, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm overstimulated, I'm dysregulated, I've got ADHD, I've got burnout, I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
There's too many names for stuff. Like, I think we just need to stop. There's too many names, everything's got a name, I don't know what's wrong with me anymore.
It's information overload.
It is.
Yeah, so it's, I guess, be careful about what you are consuming. And, you know, we do see so many jokes about ADHD, but it's also like, pretty shit and hard to live with something where your brain's not your friend all the time. So I know what you mean. There's so much, but I'm now trying to stick to not trying to learn about it online. And it does overwhelm you. And yeah, just try to stick to some of the experts. I'll share this guy that I found, not to again overwhelm you more with giving things, but I think less is more. And
but I'm going to give you more. Here's some more.
But what I mean is, when it comes to our nervous systems, to try, do keep it simple. You know, things that we can do, like not drink coffee first thing, not live on coffee, even though we freaking love coffee, you and I. And just simple things you can do. And there, I'll leave a link in the show notes of an episode I did with an expert on this. She had some, and it's just like stuff that you can do in your day, even if you are really busy. There are little things we can do.
I think also, like, we know a lot of what we should be doing, but we choose not to.
And naughty.
When I was at my most anxious a few months ago, I would have a coffee and some like pre-workout on my way to the gym. I'd be getting to Pilates and I'd just be like buzzing, like, oh my God, my heart is going to. And then by like lunchtime, when I'd be so exhausted because I felt like I've been running a marathon, and yeah, my chest hurts. I'm like, I felt like I was having a heart attack. But I mean, I was overloading too many stimulants totally, and now I've gone just totally the other way. So once again, like one extreme or the other, should probably just not do either.
It's often we know the things that we're meant to do. You know, like, and it's often until you get to that really bad place that you actually make a change. Like, I've been drinking decaf coffee for a little while.
Same.
And that was to do with hormonal stuff that was going on apparently. So I was like, I couldn't cut it all together.
I've still got 30% of the decaf. So.
Yeah, I know it's not the best to have. I did go off it completely, but I'm like, oh, I need something in my life.
Like, if you're going to take away, like, everything, don't take away everything that gives me joy in my life, you know, like
I've barely been drinking
one thing in the day that gives you some joy, because some days like that cup of coffee might just be the only thing of the day that gives you joy. Like, have that fucking cup of coffee.
Yeah, we're allowed it. Talking about things that we've seen online, you may have seen this trend of beige flags. I feel like we've gone, what's it going to be next? Purple flags, you know?
Why do everything need a colour?
Yeah. So, I mean, we are big fans here on the Self Love Club of red flags, especially when it comes to dating and, you know, things to look out for. It's very important. And then green flags we've seen a lot, which are helpful as well. But now there's the appearance of a beige
flag.
Apparently
there are pink flags too. Don't ask me what they are, but they're like not quite red flags, almost red flags.
Okay. Yeah. Now we're getting very specific, aren't we?
Yeah. Like, why does everything need a color?
So the beige flags we've seen, you've actually seen there's a few different meanings for it. People have gotten a little confused.
It was a bit confusing. The main one that people seem to be doing is their partner's beige flags, or things that they do that might kind of be a red flag in the future, but you kind of just keep on living. But
also it's something that's not like
not dangerous, it's not a deal or not breaker. Like, no, not a deal breaker. Yeah. Just kind of like, that's weird. And then I found the person that actually, I guess, kind of like coined the phrase beige flag. She's an Australian girl. I'll find her TikTok to give you. But it is originally supposed to be when you're talking about dating apps, and it's things in their bio or things that they say that just make you feel like they are probably very vanilla and going to be quite a boring person.
Yeah, that kind of makes
sense. Which makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. A beige flag in a dating profile might be like something about Harry Potter for me anyway. That'd be a beige flag for me.
Or it's like, very ironic considering your past. Yeah.
Or that they, I'm not into Harry Potter. Or that they, I don't know, study like a business degree. Like, that could probably mean they're quite vanilla.
Yeah.
She said like having an opinion on like whether pineapple goes on pizza or not.
Oh yeah, that's
she had some,
very,
yeah,
it's a very daggy one, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
like, I think her name's Caitlin something. I'll find it. So that kind of makes more sense to me.
But the one that everyone's taken a trend and taken a new meaning on is things in your partner and yourself that aren't great. They kind of annoy you, but they're not serious. They're not something you would leave them for. Like, for me, I would say my beige flag is that I don't clean my car. Like, I'm like you, we're very clean. We almost actually compulsively all clean our houses. And my car's not peak filthy and it's not filled with rubbish, but I just don't have enough in the tank to go clean my car, and my boyfriend kindly does it for me.
My husband would probably say mine's the same. I was going to ask him what are my beige flags, but I was feeling a bit sensitive about my hair and I didn't think I could take anything. But he would definitely say that, because he gets really frustrated with the state of my car. But to that I say, you don't drive around two feral children every day, all day. His car is so clean. It still smells like a new car. I think he gets it clean. He also doesn't have permanent car seats in his car. Like, when he has to take the kids out, he puts car seats in his car. That's how clean his car is. My car is trash. It's not trash. Like, it's not heaps of rubbish. There'll be the odd chip thing. The kids put their feet up on like the leather in front of them, and there's like mud.
You're like, that's not fair.
I don't sit in the back seat. Like, don't have a go at me about the back seat. I don't sit in the back seat, you know?
Yeah. That seems like a little bit, I'm on your side here. Maybe you could job share that one or something.
Every now and then he might, but it's almost like passive aggressive. Like, it's gone. It's that bad.
Maybe you should.
It's not that bad. It's all the mums will be like, I'm sure it's not that bad. But it is kind of a little bit, because I take pride in things.
No, we like to take care of things. It's, you know, things will last longer if we do.
I got influenced. Maybe it was like off TikTok. I bought a car rubbish bin.
Oh, I've like seen a little those, one. Yeah.
And he gave me so much shit for this. He's like, the other day he had some rubbish in the car. And he's like, do you have the world's crappiest rubbish bin somewhere? And he like put it in the boot. It is like, it didn't quite fit on my car. It was really teeny tiny. It was just, but I just was influenced. I was like, a car rubbish bin is exactly what I need. But I'm on the hunt for a better one. Anyone can see me a better car rubbish bin.
This could be a whole, we'll save this for another day. This is a whole other topic. Things we've been influenced to buy because of TikTok or online. I feel like we would both have
A lot
of things. And hearing that, I have seen the little rubbish bins, and then does it have the little
flap?
Yes.
Yeah, and it doesn't quite fit over my thing. I just don't know where to put it. It doesn't really quite fit. And then I'm always whacking my leg on it when I'm getting out of the car, and then it will like fall off. And the other day, it like almost the top landed on the road, and almost got run over. It was just like in the I got a bruise on my leg one time from it's just not convenient at all. Like again, did me dirty.
We're sidetracking here. Anyway. The Frank Green, you know, the Frank Green drink bottles, and they don't fit in anyone's cup holders, so you can go to Bunnings and get this pipe thing. Everyone's been going to Bunnings and getting a bit of pipe that you'd put on a drain and putting their cup in it so it fits
mine
in their
doesn't
cup.
Fit in. I don't have a Frank one, but mine doesn't fit. All the girls have those like Stanley kind of cups, which are short and then really big, but they're a cup and then they've got a big straw. Like, what do you do walking? You walk around and they're also heavy. Like, what do you, you know, it's heavy.
It reminds me of, did you watch Emily in Paris? And
a bit of it, yeah.
American woman, what's her name? The one who's played by, she was in Grey's Anatomy. Enough. Well, she had, it just reminded me when you said that, she had this big drink bottle that was basically like a little mini.
I once had
like
this,
a mini,
yeah, it looks like a weight. Cooler.
Yeah.
I had one of those. I had a pink one. It's probably at home somewhere still. It was ginormous because, I don't drink enough water. And I was like, if I have this, I will drink enough water because it's so big. That's my whole water intake, probably the whole week's intake, to be honest, in one bottle.
Yeah.
It was way too heavy. It didn't fit in any bag. It was like the heavier than my newborn. And it was so heavy and impractical, you didn't take it anywhere.
Yeah.
And you'd be going around the corner, it's like rolling around. And if the lid's off, there's water everywhere.
It was Kate Walsh's
takes
character.
A whole day to fill up.
Yeah, no, I like ice in my water. So I just have to go and put ice in each glass. And now I've got this app, it makes me, I have to get this quota each day. So the whole, again, this, we could save this for another time. The whole Frank Green thing. We have
my watch just told me time to stand up.
Yeah. We'll save this. But the Frank Green thing, people aren't washing their straws, and it's so hard to wash those straws in them.
Yeah, I've got one with a straw, and they're quite, yeah, like I had the same thing with the kids' drink bottles.
They're a nightmare to
clean. I just want
to
burn them and like get new ones, but that's not economical. They're just not.
Yeah.
Or the dishwasher, and the soap gets stuck up in the bottles, and then you go to have some water the next time, and it tastes kind of like palm olive. Or
on beige flags, is your, what would you say your husband's beige flag is?
I was trying to think about this. You go with yours first.
Okay, so my partner's beige flag, and he has gotten a little better, is he's not very good at stacking the dishwasher.
Oh, that's probably what Tom would say about me.
People who don't stack a dishwasher well, it does annoy me a little bit because I'll go in and rearrange it. But yeah, he's gotten a bit better actually, I'd say. But that's probably one of his. He's pretty good, but... I mean, I don't want to be too mean in case he listens to this.
I feel like I could give me 5 minutes, I could think of a shitload. But
he cooks for me a lot, so I don't want him to go on strike and then me have to fend for myself in time.
On Tom's beige flag is probably that he doesn't cook ever, but anyway. He
no shade there.
No shade. Yeah. It's a bit of a sore topic. He probably won't like that. He gets in these moods every now and then. Like he was on one on Sunday and one on Sunday. He'll just like go through the fridge and pull out everything and look at its use by dates. And if it's slightly over, just like chuck everything out. He called me down to the garage on Sunday and he's like, which of these prams don't we need? And Jagger runs down. He's like, I need my big pram. Like I still use both of them. And he's like, well, they're giving me like anxiety having all this shit here. So like just every now and then he goes on these kind of stressy, goes through the fridge.
Yeah.
This was off, this is off. And I'm like, that's not off. Yeah, it's off technically, but it's still good for at least another month.
Oh, that's so good. That is, yeah, that's funny. He sort of goes on like a little dad sort of thing. My boyfriend will do that. That's probably one of my beige flags, is that I do keep things. And he'll always joke with me and be like, this expired in 2021.
It's still good for another 5 years.
Stuff expires really fast.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm keeping milk or anything. It'll just be other random things. Like I remember when
non-perishable. So that's supposed to not perish.
Yeah, when we were sick a while ago, I've got my little medicine cabinet, which I'm sure you do as well. Like I'm basically running a pharmacy in our bathroom.
Yeah, I've got a pharmacy at home too.
Yeah, and one of the really good throat gargles, that Betadine one, it's honestly the best thing if you've got a sore throat. And he's like, I had two of them, but obviously I didn't want to waste one and throw it out. And he said, this expired in 2021 or 2022. And I'm like, it's probably still fine. But he finds it really funny. He'll go through our shed or whatever and find alcohol that I've been gifted that it's expired or we haven't drunk.
Does alcohol expire?
I don't think so. Yeah. And he'll be like, this expired.
Probably if you keep it in the wrong kind of.
Yeah.
I saw some beige flags on people's that weren't beige flags at all. Like, there were people saying that, like, their boyfriend's beige flag is that he won't stop cuddling them for, like, a whole movie. Oh, or
people screw up these My trends, beige man.
Flag is that my boyfriend won't stop calling me until he knows that I got home safe. It's like, no, your boyfriend is being, like, a good boyfriend. Or, like, no, your boyfriend feels safe, like you're a safe person. No.
People need to learn the trend properly. Go back. If you're making those ones and they're wrong, go back, see the actual definition and do it properly.
Or is it a humble brag? They're aware that it's not a beige flag. They just want someone to know how good their boyfriend is.
Like, yeah, which is social media to a T, isn't it? Yeah. Really? Everyone just wants to. It's one of those things where we're just trying to find, people are trying to find any opportunity to, you know, share a little something cool about, you know, nice about their lives.
Humble brag.
Even though they're probably sharing that video and then they're fighting with their partner at the same time.
Yeah, it's always the way. The people that don't show that stuff probably got the best relationships. Yeah. I always wonder that about people that make a living on TikTok or couples that film heaps of stuff. Is that not just so annoying, being on the receiving end, or someone does something and you're wondering, are you doing this for that, or are you doing this because, like, you actually want to do it?
Mm.
I have TikTok. I watch people TikTok.
Now that I know you
never,
have.
Yeah, I will never make one though.
I like TikTok. I've been, you can follow me, Belle_Crawford on TikTok. I've been really getting into it. I like
watching TikToks.
Yeah.
I just personally have too much shame ever to make them myself. Like, I hate talking on camera. I hate, like, and I know a lot of people are really good at it. I just can't. I didn't like drama at school. I didn't like acting. Like, I just cannot.
Well, you're ending
up so much shame.
Oh no, we need to get rid of that. But, no, but
I've got a lot of stuff to work on. It's fine. Don't give me any more resources.
You also don't need to make them if you don't want to. But in saying that, these episodes will be going up on TikTok in these episodes. So you're kind of on TikTok. I think that's all we've got time for. We'll save some of our other things we had on the show for another episode. But honestly, so good to have a chat, so good to catch up and have you back on, which we will do some more now. And also, it's going to be okay. Your hair actually doesn't look as bad as you think. But
I'd forgotten about it. I get a fright every time I see myself in the mirror. I refuse to look at myself in the mirror. But
tomorrow, isn't hair day one of the best days ever, though? Getting your hair done, there is one.
I hate it.
Really?
No, I just, anything that's supposed to be like self-care, I hate getting my nails done, hate getting my hair done.
Why? We didn't change this, girl. I wish I could just
take my head off, leave it there, come back, pick my hair up. I can't find it really hard to just sit there for that long.
Well,
it's a waste of my time.
ADHD.
Yeah, it's a waste of my time. I've got lots of stuff I should be doing, I think, at home.
Yeah, it's good. It's so nice. I love when they do your hair all pretty. And actually, speaking of nails, I have had shellac on my nails for probably about 6 years consistently. I've always had my nails done. It's one of my things. I like having nice nails. And recently, because I get such a baby pink color, what's the point? I get like bubble bath, which is basically like natural nails anyway. So I had them taken off and I've gone on natural. I did my own ones the other day. I mean, it's fine, but
I went through that phase. I ended up buying like an at-home like nail builder. It's called the Gel Bot. It's a New Zealand company. I bought the whole kit. I'm going to save money. I'm going to do this myself. It took me so many hours because I'm like a perfectionist and they looked crap, and then getting them off and I hyperfixate. Again, I just thought I could do this myself. Can't be that hard. Just leave it to the professionals, honestly. And now I'm just back to where I started, really.
Yeah, I probably will go back, but it's going to be a nice little money saver each month for a little while. You know, cozy living, as they're calling it. Yeah. You're going to think a little hacks.
You're welcome to try my kit.
Oh, awesome. Thanks so much. And right. We'll catch you soon.
Bye.
That's all we've got time for. If you enjoyed this episode with my friend Anna, we have heaps more. I'll leave some links for you to listen in the show notes. The most helpful way you can support us is to subscribe or follow on your podcast app. Hit those buttons now. This is actually the most important way you can support us. It's super helpful and it means that we can find new listeners every week and grow. Also, select automatic downloads and leave us a 5-star rating. And if you're enjoying listening, write us a kind review. This helps other people find us and in the charts. Send the link to your friends, get everyone listening to the Self Love Club, and follow us on Instagram at Self Love Club Podcast, where you can watch videos of this conversation and keep up with our daily content. I'm at Belle Crawford on Instagram, Belle_Crawford on TikTok, and join our private Facebook group. Details for all of these with direct links are in the show notes. New episodes are released on Mondays from 5 a.m. New Zealand time. I'll catch you soon. Ellie the most. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.